uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends. Happy Friday, TGIF, Shabbat Shalom. Whatever, however you celebrate this weekend. We know Bill Frist, what he's going to be doing. Unfortunately, pitting one part of America against another, the great Republican strategy. Anyhow, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. It is Friday, the first hour of our Friday program. Time for our regular Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders, the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Our telephone number, by the way, if you'd like to be on with Congressman Sanders and or me, is 866, toll-free, 866-889-8894. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, tomhartman.com will get you there. Just click live chat, and then when you get to the message board, click live chat one more time, and it'll drop you right into the chat room. Bernie Sanders, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
It is great to have you here, Bernie. Boy, big news in Vermont that Senator Jeffords has decided he's not going to run for re-election.
That's right.
My recollection, if I may point it out, is that some months ago on this show, I asked you if Jeffords didn't run, would you run? And you said?
I said that I would.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I've been telling the people of the state of Vermont for many years now. When asked if I would run if Senator Jeffords chose not to seek re-election, I said that I wouldn't. That's what I intend to do. But it's much, much too early in the campaign season to get involved in a political campaign now. There's an enormous amount of work that has to be done in Congress, so we're not going to begin any campaign work for quite a while, but it is my intention to run.
Yeah, and I just have to say, on behalf of myself as the part of me that's a Vermonter, the part of me that's a citizen of the United States, I'm just so pleased that you're going to be running for the United States Senate. I just, you know, I really wish you the best on that.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, let me just say a word about Senator Jeffords. I have personally known Jeffords for well over 30 years. In fact, I ran against him in 1972 on a small third-party ticket when he was trying to get the Republican nomination for governor of the state of Vermont. He ended up losing that. But Jim has served in state government in Vermont. He has served in the U.S. House of Representatives. He has served, obviously, completing three terms in the United States Senate. He has been a leader on a number of educational issues, environmental issues. And as I think most Americans know, he did what a whole lot of Republicans should be doing. Jim, throughout his life, was a moderate Republican, coming from a long tradition in Vermont of moderate Republicanism, going back to George Aiken, Bob Stafford, and many others. And what happened a couple of years ago is he saw the Republican Party moving very, very far to the right. And as a lifelong Republican, he really, it pained him. It really did. And he did an enormously courageous act, and he said, no, I can't stay in that party anymore. Yeah. I'm going to become an independent, as everybody knows. That shifted power in the Senate to the Democrats. But that was an act of great courage and personal sacrifice on his part. And it's something that the people of the state of Vermont and I think America respect enormously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a very significant act. And we all wish him well as he continues in his life and with
his
life.
We sure do. Yep.
Yeah. So, Bernie, what's on your plate today? What are the things that you wanted to discuss?
Well, a lot of issues out there. Obviously, as you know, just a couple of days ago, the House of Representatives passed a disastrous energy bill. It's an energy bill that does virtually nothing to address the major energy crisis that this country faces, and that is skyrocketing gas prices that workers are paying every time they fill up at the gas tank. Does nothing to make our country more energy efficient, does virtually nothing to break our dependence on foreign oil, but it did, I have to say, give many, many billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies to the coal industry, the oil industry, the gas industry, and all of the major energy providers and companies in this country, which provide huge amounts of campaign contributions to the Republican Party and the president. And it is really an absolute embarrassment. What we're looking at right now, at the time when gas prices are soaring, and you know, Tom, in rural states like Vermont, if a worker travels, which is not unusual, you know, 50 miles to work and 50 miles back, you're talking about 100 miles a day, 500 miles a week. when gas prices soar, that's money just coming out of a worker's paycheck.
That's that much less that they can spend on food, on clothes, on health care, on just the essentials of life for many people.
Absolutely.
Somebody living
it,
on the edge, this could push them over the edge.
Right. You know, so the president talks about all of the tax breaks, the few hundred dollars that many workers have received. Well, this is going to cost them a hell of a lot more in terms of what's coming right out of their back pockets because of these soaring gas prices. And meanwhile, while gas prices are soaring, what's happening to our friends in the oil industry? Well, they are enjoying record-breaking profits. It's an issue that very few people are talking about. But in 2004, profits for the top 10 oil and gas companies jumped by more than 30%. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Billions of dollars. They are sitting on more billions of dollars in free cash sitting in the bank than they ever have in the history of the industry.
That's right.
But they need welfare, Bernie. They need $8 billion in welfare.
Absolutely.
Got to help them out.
That's right. So what we're looking at is that the world's 10 biggest oil companies earned more than $100 billion in 2004. And obviously, at a time when the middle class is declining, when workers at the gas pumps are paying more and more, clearly, we need to give taxpayer subsidies to ExxonMobil and all these other large oil companies. It would be an embarrassment if it was not so pathetic and a joke.
Yeah.
But that is what happens when you have an administration and a Congress who work feverishly on the behalf of the rich and the powerful, and every single week there are more and more giveaways to the people who don't need it and cutbacks on programs for the people who do need help.
And are you expecting this thing is going to make it all the way through?
We'll see. I suspect there'll be more opposition to it in the Senate, but at the end of the day, I can't believe that anything good is going to happen. Meanwhile, in the midst of all of this, we are driving automobiles today, as you well know, that get worse mileage than was previously the case.
Than 10 years ago.
Exactly the wrong direction. We have given billions of dollars to Detroit to come up with energy-efficient cars, and meanwhile, it's the Japanese who are producing the kinds of hybrids that we should be having. The potential is out there to absolutely move to sustainable energy, to get vehicles that would be going 60, 70, 80 miles per gallon, and we're living in the 1950s. An absolute disaster, which leads us into Iraq, which leads us into pollution, leads us into global warming, and, you know, then the Republicans passed this disastrous bill.
Yeah, and speaking of disastrous bills, and speaking of people living on the edge and being pushed over the edge by high gasoline prices and energy policies, here now, those people who have been pushed over the edge no longer have Chapter 7 bankruptcy available to them, many of them, as a result of this bankruptcy bill that was just passed last year. Now, I realize this isn't something people can do anything about anymore, other than perhaps holding to account, particularly the Democrats who voted for this thing in the Senate and the House. How did this happen? How did such a blatant special interest thing get through without the American people freaking out?
Well, let's just take a look at the three major bills that passed the House in the last 2 weeks. Okay, you mentioned the bankruptcy bill. That was written by the credit card companies. Credit card companies are making record-breaking profits. They are acting as loan shark operators by charging the American people interest rates of close, in some cases, to 30%, using scam after scam to fool the American people. You know, people borrow money and get a credit card on zero interest, 5%, and then any day of the week, the credit card companies have the right to raise that to 15%, in some cases to 30%. These are the people who wrote the bankruptcy bill because they want to make sure, hey, that they get their blood money as soon as they possibly can. Then you have the repeal of the estate tax, which has got to be one of the great frauds ever perpetrated on the American people. The Republicans some years back came up with this wonderful name called the death tax.
Yeah.
And the president talks about it every day. Isn't it a horrible thing that when people die, their families have to pay a tax on this? My goodness. And they sold that to the American people. Although I think more and more people are beginning to understand that the repeal of the estate tax, which we talked about last week, only applies to the wealthiest 2% of the population, that half of these hundreds of billions of dollars in benefits are going to go to the richest 1/10 of 1%, that families like the Mars candy family. Remember Mars?
Oh, yes.
We always loved that little, you know, piece of candy.
And we made them billionaires in doing
it. That's right. So he made them billionaires, and now they, for a number of years, have been organizing this campaign to repeal that tax, which will keep huge fortunes in the hands of a few people. Meanwhile, back in the real world, the president comes up with a budget which is cutting back benefits and raising health care fees for veterans, slashing Medicaid, moving to privatize Social Security, of course, and on it goes. So then you had, so this is what you just had, just in the last 2 weeks. You had the horrendous bankruptcy bill. You had the repeal of the estate tax. And then we moved to welfare for the oil industry, which is enjoying record-breaking profits. So, I mean,
is there a pattern here, Bernie?
But in a very naked sense, I mean, the fact that they have moved so fast in the last 2 weeks, in an almost unprecedented manner, what you're seeing is just huge, huge benefits to the very, very, very richest people in this country, and simultaneously an attack on the middle class, working families, and low-income people. And you know, the American people have got to wake up to that reality, and we've got to deal with it.
This is not just the Republican agenda. This is really, I mean, there are some Democrats who are on board with this thing. This
Absolutely.
Is this is the oligarchic, you know, I call it the conservative agenda. You bristle at that because you have some good friends who are conservatives
well,
who
the
actually
reason for
are
that,
the
Tom,
old-fashioned
is,
conservatives.
You know, you're not a conservative and I'm not a conservative. Right. But conservatism is not a disreputable, in my view, philosophy.
The old-fashioned conservatism.
Right,
the
old-fashioned conservative, right.
The Everett Dirksen conservative.
That's right.
Yes.
The old-fashioned conservatism.
I agree with you.
Does not engage in the USA Patriot Act. It does
right.
not move to censorship in cable television. It
right.
believes in limited government, not having the FBI going over our reading records in local libraries. So, you know, it's not my philosophy. But these guys are not conservatives.
But they call themselves conservatives.
I know, and that's just an absolute misnomer.
And they've been selling it on right-wing talk radio for 15 years now,
right.
And so everybody who believes this stuff, which you and I both know isn't conservative, thinks that it's conservative, calls themselves conservatives.
No.
But in any case, my point was that this is an agenda that is very straightforward and very naked out there, and yet still Americans haven't awakened to it. It hasn't been labeled. Back
many
a century
have.
Ago, we called it robber barons. What are we calling them now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we should be, well, I like the word oligarchy. But this has to do with fewer and fewer people controlling and benefiting from our economy. I was at a hearing just the other day. I'm a member of the Financial Services Committee, where the issue, people like Bonnie Frank of Massachusetts and others began to raise the issue, which is an issue that needs to be raised, of the compensation of CEOs.
Right.
Where these CEOs now make 500 times what their workers make.
Yeah, even when their companies are losing money.
In some cases, that's right.
Yeah. A lot of issues here that need to be raised. Congressman Bernie Sanders, it's our Brunch with Bernie segment this hour. If you'd like to be on the line with Congressman Sanders, call 1-866-889-8894. Our toll-free telephone number all across the United States. I'm Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Transforming the World by Revitalizing Democracy, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. And Bernie, it is just so great to have you on this program every Friday. I am so grateful for it that you're able to do this. And I hope when you get elected to the Senate, you'll be able to continue. I know it's way premature to even talk about that, but I just want to put that plug in.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah. You know, this is something that I enjoy very much. It gives me an opportunity to talk a little bit about what's going on in Congress to people all over the United States of America. And congratulations on all that you do.
Thank you. Our lines are absolutely lit up. We've got every six lines here, and every single one is on hold. So let's just go right to the phones. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin.
Hey, Bernie and Tom. First, I'd like to make a comment, and then I have a question for you, Bernie, about irony. And then I have another question.
Let's just get right to it, Armin.
Okay. Well, basically, it's obvious that a well-oiled cult has taken over our government. to make it very simplistic. But don't you think, Bernie, there's an irony in the Republican proponents of privatization and the virtues of privatization? At the same time they've been touting this, they've been partaking in the destroying private unions and private pensions at the same time they've been touting privatization. Don't you think there's an irony in that? Isn't that outrageous?
Good question.
It absolutely is, Amon. I mean, I think what we have got to do is just lay out this disastrous record that in virtually every single area, this administration and the Republican leadership have lined up in a ferocious manner on the side of the rich, the large corporations that have been attacking working class people and the middle class. They talk about being conservative. Well, being conservative means that American workers have the constitutional right to form a union. But everybody who is a member of a union, who wants to join a union, knows there has been a tremendous attack in recent years under the Bush administration in efforts to try to stop workers from coming together to form unions. So you're absolutely right. They talk about privatization. They talk about their respect for individual rights. And these are the same people who are pushing censorship in the media. They want to tell the American people that the FCC should regulate whether or not you have the right to watch The Sopranos, Nip Tuck, all of these programs that people pay for in the privacy of their homes. You have people like Senator Stevens now saying, no, the FCC should be there. We don't like some of the language. We're going to regulate that. These are the people who for years tell us how bad government is and how they should government should not be involved in our lives. So the hypocrisy is outrageous.
Yeah, it's over the top. 1-866-889-8894. John in Dallas on the line. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi, John.
I got two questions for Bernie. One is that, you know, the Republicans, they're always talking about reform and accountability. Why don't we see some accountability for all these laws that have gone in? For instance, we passed the tax cuts because they were supposed to produce jobs. Okay, where's the accountability now 3 years after it's been put in of saying, okay, how many jobs were created and at what cost to lost taxes? I think Tom Hartman had something on the other day that said it was about $550,000 per job, okay? I want to see other things, you know, and I'm asking how this gets done. Is that, okay, the tort reform was put in because that's supposed to help the insurance premiums for medical malpractice. Well, maybe a year after it's in, are we going to see how much those premiums have gone down? Or if the stock market keeps losing things, those premiums are going to go up, because it has nothing to do with tort reform.
John, you're raising very, very important issues. And of the many, many concerns that I have in terms of what's going on in Congress right now, one of the major ones is that what Congress is supposed to do, among many other things, is provide oversight in terms of what an administration does. This Congress has turned its back on what the White House does. We've let them get away with murder. There is no accountability. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that. And the accountability, the adversarial system, the two-party system, it's been eaten, but we'll get to that when we come back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the real free speech zone. Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. We'll be right back.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. Talk radio for the rest of us. Exposing the con and conservative, but we're having a discussion.
A right-wing extremist.
A right-wing extremist. That's a good one. And I think we need to bring back the word robber barons. Bernie, here is George W. Bush. Hang on just a second. Let me start it off.
$550 billion and across-the-board tax relief. We will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
$550 billion. for 1 million new jobs. That's $550,000 a job, first off, which is pretty weird. But that was his promise, 1 million new jobs 3 years ago. As our last caller said, how do we hold these folks accountable?
Well, one of the outrages, as I mentioned earlier, that's going on in Congress is that Congress is turning its historic responsibility of keeping an eye and being a watchdog over no matter who is in the White House. You remember when Clinton was president, he couldn't go to the bathroom without an investigation.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Zero.
Yeah.
Have you seen? I'm on that committee that does the investigations called the Government Reform Committee. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. So John asked a good question. Okay, we're giving huge tax breaks to large corporations and the wealthy under the guise of creating jobs. Good. How many jobs have we created? How much has it cost per job? Do you think we've had that hearing yet? We have not had that hearing. These guys talk about unfunded mandates. They're conservatives. What do you think? No Child Left Behind us. How many zillions of dollars is that costing local school boards and states? No hearing on that one. And on it goes. But John's point is a very good one. We are not, no one is examining and analyzing the impact of Bush's policy decisions. And that's a real disservice to the American people.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Gary in Wisconsin's on the line. Hey, Gary, thanks for calling.
Hello. I appreciate the time of both of you. I think one of the things that's needed the most is some ability of getting the information out, a summarized sort of information out to people. The media is not able to do it. The only way of doing it is through the web, through the internet, somewhere. A summarized source of information where all the bills that come out of Congress and House and Senate, that sort of thing, is summarized, and the people who vote both ways are listed, links to places that summarize the profits of different companies where people can follow the dollar. That ability is not available for people who have to work.
Yeah, we just lost
to make
right. Gary.
Yeah, we're losing Gary
right.
Here.
He is absolutely right. Now, what I can tell you, Gary, is, if you go to the internet, go under Thomas for the United States Congress, there is a lot of information. You will find the bills that have come up, the votes that have been taken place, who voted, what way, the bills that members have sponsored. That's a lot of good information.
Right. And the website for that is www.thomas.loc, as in Library of Congress, .gov.
And it's a very good website. Obviously, what you won't get is an analysis on that website of who pays for the bills, who benefits from it, and so forth and so on. But the congressional record is also on the web, and there's often a lot of good debate and discussion. But Gary raises a very important issue, and that is in many ways the abdication of the corporate media in educating the American people of what really goes on in our country. And it gets back to the first point that we made in our discussion today, Tom, and that is just the incredible power of money over the political system, the power of money over in terms of what the CEOs of large corporations are doing to our economy, their willingness to outsource American industry to China and to other countries. But it also has to deal with the media. And if the American people cannot get the truth about what's going on in our country, it's very hard for them to engage in serious discussion.
Yeah.
And be the citizens that many of them want to be. So I think Gary is right. I think the internet does play and is going to play an increasing role to get real information out to the people.
Yeah, and there's some great websites, commondreams.org, opednews.com,
BuzzFlash,
BuzzFlash.com.
And let me mention
and
my own,
just going to say bernie.house.gov.
Yeah, right? And we're going to be upgrading it very soon to do a better job in getting information out to the people of Vermont than anyone else who wants to visit it.
Yeah, bernie.house.gov is a great site. And you deal with national issues there as well as Vermont issues.
Of course we do.
Very often you put it in the context of what it means to Vermonters, but it means the same thing to Oregonians and Texans.
Absolutely.
So, okay, 1-866-889-8894, telephone number, Florian in Arlington Heights, Illinois, on the line. Hey, Florian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Actually, my call kind of tracks your previous caller. What we're attempting to do locally is, in fact, try to monitor our congressman's performance, if you will. And the thought was to voice our opinion, since email happens to be the only way that you can, in fact, communicate with him, prior to bills coming up, voice our opinion on it. And the question is, these bills that come up, in effect, they're instantaneous. The energy bill, prime example, that hit the streets, what, Saturday afternoon, and by Thursday it was voted on. The first analysis I saw of it was a Wednesday, which doesn't give you much time to be proactive.
Well, Florian, you raise a very interesting and I'm not going to tell you that this leadership is the first to do this, but they are probably the worst in memory, and that is sometimes huge bills, hundreds of pages, are presented to members of Congress, in some cases a few hours before one is asked to vote on it. And then what happens is 5 days later, people find out what was in the bill when they read the New York Times, and they find out all the corporate welfare and other outrages that were in it. So you're right, it's a real problem. On the other hand, one does have a pretty good idea of what the bills are that are going to be coming down the pike. Often one has a fairly good idea, if not every aspect of the bill, a general understanding of what the bill is. For example, while one may not have known every detail in this so-called energy bill that was voted on Thursday, one knew a lot about it beforehand. So when we can keep track of them, and we can put pressure on members of the Congress and say, look, this is the way this bill is right now. Are you prepared to vote against it? Because it's a disaster, and get the word out. Let people know what's in that bill and put pressure on your member.
Yeah, well said. 1-866-889-8894. Josh in Atlanta on the line. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Bernie, you made the point a little while ago that we have to educate the American people, and that just goes to my main point, which is that no matter how much I pay attention to folks like Tom, it just seems like it's hopeless. We just keep talking about the problems of, you know, the corruption and the lack of education in this country is impossible to deal with. But I was just wondering, considering how many people on the right are disgruntled with the right and people on the left are disgruntled with the left, maybe we should try to form, like, another kind of third party, like the Union Party, for instance. I mean, wouldn't that be a nice way to form a, like, everybody who wants to be in a union be in a union and screw the government from saying we can't do it?
Well, I'll tell you what is, let me not comment on that, but let me just say this, Josh. You're absolutely right in perceiving that a number of conservatives are growing increasingly disgusted and angry at the Bush administration, because it's not a conservative administration. It's a radical, right-wing extremist administration, as is the Republican leadership. Republicans are supposed to believe in limited government, not getting involved in what happens in state affairs or city affairs, and we're seeing No Child Left Behind. You're seeing all kinds of intrusion into the personal lives of families, Terri Schiavo case, for example, attacks on civil liberties. So you have people like former Congressman Barr from Georgia, one of the most conservative members in Congress when he was there, now helping to lead the effort against aspects of the USA Patriot Act. You are seeing, I'm working, I should tell you, with many conservatives who say, no, our current trade policies with China, et cetera, are a disaster. They're costing us good-paying jobs. I'm working with Republicans on the giveaways to the pharmaceutical industry. So I do believe, I think that Josh is absolutely right, in not to kind of forget some of these traditional divisions that have divided us in a country, reach out to our conservative friends who may disagree with us on this and that issue. Veterans issues is another issue that a whole lot of folks, not only veterans, but people who have never put on a uniform are disgusted at how the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, are treating our veterans.
They just the Republicans just trashed $1.8 billion for returning veterans, and it didn't even make the national newscast.
Right. Oh, let me tell you.
It didn't even make the news.
I know. They got rid of, there's a fellow named Chris Smith, a conservative Republican from New Jersey, who I disagree with on many, many issues, but an honest and decent guy. Chris was the chairman of the Veterans Committee. They got rid of him in an unprecedented way. You know why? Because he was going to fight for veterans, and the Republican leadership got rid of him against, I should tell you, the opposition of all of the veterans organizations.
Amazing.
So I think Josh's point is a very important point, and I want to reiterate it. Kind of a lot of liberal people say, oh, I can't deal with conservatives. They disagree with them, this or that and the other thing. Understand that it's a big country. Honest people have differences of opinion. Reach out, because I think on many, many, many of the issues, the vast majority of the people do not feel comfortable and disagree with the Bush administration and the Republican leadership.
Yeah. And I'd just like to toss in that we do have a two-party system here. Most people don't understand the difference between our political system and that of, for example, Germany or France, where they have proportional representation. And that's why I encourage people to infiltrate the Democratic and Republican Party, become activists in those parties, and try to take those parties back to rationality and sanity. You know, but that's,
also,
that's just my
one aspect of that, Tom, is also this instant runoff business, which I
yes.
think the Vermont State Legislature is looking at. The city of Burlington, where I live, has passed it, and other cities have as well. And that says that if there are three or four candidates, you can vote for your top pick, your second pick, your third pick.
Right.
So when you vote for your pick, you don't, in a sense, help elect the guy you least admire.
That's absolutely right. And that's the only solution, really, in the United States, because we're not going to amend the Constitution to have proportional representation, but we can get instant runoff voting. Scott in San Diego's on the line. Scott, welcome to the program. You're live with Congressman Sanders.
Well, good morning, all. This is a perfect time. Bernie, I wanted to talk to you for a while. As you know, Tom, Amy Fader and I here in San Diego are very active in participating with issues here. We call our senators, our congressperson, the state assembly people. We write letters to the editors, et cetera. Tom, when you gave that talk about corporate involvement in politics, it really hit home with Amy and me and a few others there. We're kind of doing some stuff, and we're wondering what's the most effective way to, excuse me here, be effective. We've looked at forming a think tank. We've looked at a couple of different things. What's a good way to be involved with
it? I'll tell you what's a good way. It is astounding to me, Scott. It's not the case here in the state of Vermont, but all over America. I would suspect in district after district, a majority of the people don't even know who their member of Congress is. So I think what we should be doing is introducing the citizens of this country to their elected officials. We should be talking about the records that they have. We should be demanding meetings with our elected officials so they're not simply on the phone all the time raising money from corporate interests. You know, there's nothing wrong with sending out, making a call to an office and saying, look, we have 50, 100 people who are concerned about Social Security, Medicare, the environment, whatever it may be, workers' rights. We want to sit down and meet with you. And if you don't have time to meet with us at, you know, a mutually convenient time, understanding that members of Congress have crazy schedules, hey, don't come back to us in November on election time. So that would be, to me, at the top of my list. A lot of people do not know who their members are not familiar with their records, and I think we should be introducing the American people to their elected officials.
Well said, and amen. Thanks a lot for the call, Scott. 1-866-889-8894. Bill in Long Island, New York on the line. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing? I first want to say, Bernie, I wish you luck, and I hope you get elected.
Thank you.
We can clone a few more of you out there to put you in more runs. The other thing is, though, that I wanted to say is that it seems that a lot of things that are going on, like with delay and things like that, that it's basically the fox is in charge of the hen house. Is there some way that something could be done that where, say, someone like delay is caught, like, more than once with his hand in the cookie jar, that it's taken out of their hands and automatically put into, say, a civil system to try him?
Well, one of the outrages, Bill, that's currently going on, of the many outrages in this Republican Congress, we talk about lack of accountability. We talk about abuse of power, but here's an example of something. There were ethical charges raised against DeLay that went to the Ethics Committee, which is it's, you know, being on the Ethics Committee is not an easy job. You're making judgment on your colleagues and so forth and so on. In any case, there's a fellow named Joel Heffley, who is a very conservative Republican from Colorado. And Heffley voted with the Democrats to raise questions about some of DeLay's activities. You know what happened to Joel Heffley?
Toast.
He was taken off of the Ethics Committee.
Yeah, they made him toast.
So here you have a situation, and this really speaks to DeLay's view of an independent judiciary. Hey, they rule against us. What's the answer? Not to correct our behavior. It's to get rid of those judges who made that rule. And so what the answer is, I mean, I think ultimately there are a lot of immediate steps that one can take, but ultimately we have got to arouse the American people, get them involved in the process, and to understand that, among other things, separation of powers in America. You respect an ethics committee. You don't get rid of a guy because he votes against you. You respect an independent judiciary, and you don't threaten them because they rule in opposition to what you believe.
Yeah, well said. Terry in Grand Rapids on the line. Hey, Terry, we've got about a minute and a half left here.
Just a quick question. I know, Bernie, you're an independent. My question is, are you any kind of affiliation with any party in order to run? If I wanted to run for a part for a elected office and I ran as an independent, do I have to register with any party at all, or I can just be the independent and register with my
local? Terry, what state are you in?
Michigan.
Terry, that depends on state law. In Vermont, to run as an independent, you need to get a certain number of signatures of registered voters, not a whole lot. And that's all that one has to do in the state of Vermont. So I do not get involved in the primaries of other parties. Now, in other states, I suspect the numbers may be greater and so forth, but that's the case in Vermont.
Terry, call the Michigan Secretary of State's office and in Lansing, and they can give you the answer to that question.
All right, great.
And they can give you the details on it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Bernie, we've got about 10 seconds here before we've got to take a break. Well, there goes the music. I was going to ask you for a final comment, but we'll just wrap this and we'll come back. We still have a few callers. We'll take them right after this break as we come back out of this break. It's the Tom Hartman radio program where despair is not an option. As Bernie Sanders says, Congressman Bernie Sanders with us this hour every Friday, our Brunch with Bernie segment. Get active. Get out there. Participate. Call your member of Congress. Get active.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but Swift now says he came from Texas to Washington.
And welcome back, my friends. 5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Our Brunch with Bernie segment, Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Bernie, Richard in Washington is on the line with us. Richard, welcome to the program. Richard? Richard, I got to say, you got to listen. Whoop.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You got to be listening to your phone, not your radio.
Yes. Okay. I want to say that this is certainly my favorite talk show, especially your sessions with Bernie Sanders. I've learned more about Congress and the inner workings of Congress from these sessions than in any other time, any other source. I also agree with you, Tom, when you say that we have to be active, and I think that's where we have failed, actually have failed Congress as well, by not being more active. And I really believe that we need to get back to the days of the 60s when we were in force and making our messages known face-to-face with Congress. If we have to go to Washington, D.C. to take that message there, that's what we have to do. In force. They just don't listen. Most Congress don't listen. It doesn't matter how many times you email, how many times you write. They're not listening to us and certainly not paying attention to what our wishes are, for sure. I think that we need to be in force. Hundreds of thousands of people need to visit Washington, D.C.
Bernie, your take on that?
I mean, I think that that's obviously... There's something that's equally important. Nothing wrong with large demonstrations in Washington. I've been on more than a few before I was in Congress. But what is equally important, Richard, is knocking on your neighbor's door. I mean, and getting people who have given up on the political process, who don't understand the importance of politics, who have lost their jobs or wages are not keeping up with inflation, can't afford to send their kids to college, they have got to know how important politics is and what Congress does. So it's not just demonstrating in Washington. It's educating people in our own communities, having face-to-face discussions with our elected officials, and holding them accountable.
Well said. Philip in St. Louis on the line. Hey, Philip.
Yeah, I wanted to call and ask Bernie this before, and I didn't get the chance. We have all this money that we privatize into companies, and it's arguably necessary to subsidize their profits and things like that. But if the Republicans were serious about providing the American taxpayer with ownership in our society, why don't they give us ownership for the billions and billions of dollars that are invested every year in these companies? And why has nobody stood up and demanded that we get this ownership?
Okay, good one, Philip. Bernie, we got about 20 seconds.
Well, I'm not totally clear that I understand.
I think he's talking about, you know, if we're going to give $8 billion in subsidies.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the demands, sure, if you're going to be putting money into a company, obviously the public has certain rights and privileges from having subsidized that company, and the Republicans never for one second look at that approach.
Yeah, and we need to start holding them accountable. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for being with us again today, Bernie.
Good to be with you.
I truly do appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. Truth in Broadcasting, the pill that will help you escape the matrix, the Tom Hartman radio program. Glad to have you with us, broadcasting live on radio stations from coast to coast, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, beaming around the planet on radiopower.org, whiterosesociety.org, Live 365's American FM. Welcome back to our program. If you'd like to drop into the live chat room where you can actually interact in real time with other human beings who are participating, just go to TomHartman.com. That'll get you there. If you'd like to call into the program, our number 1-866, toll free across the United States, 1-866-889-8894. It's Earth Day. It is Earth Day. And the Associated Press leads their story for the day on this. President Bush is celebrating Earth Day with one of his favorite pastimes, working the land. And then they've got this great quote from him. He says, "I look forward to getting my hands dirty." Now, I thought this was a comment that he was making about having signed the bankruptcy bill yesterday or the day before, or the energy bill that's coming up, or the one of these other boondoggles. But no, he's trying to portray himself as an environmentalist, as he has tried before. Not doesn't make it for me. I'm sorry. It's just bush clearing brush, environmentalism. They don't go together in my mind. Mary Minette is the vice president of the Earth Day Network, and Mary is well positioned here, I think, to speak on Earth Day. Hey, Mary, welcome to our program.
Good to be here.
Tell us about Earth Day. Here we have, I remember the first Earth Day. I'm an old fart here. I remember the first Earth Day, April 22nd, 35 years ago, 1970, and it was huge then. 20 million people were involved in this thing. What has happened?
Well, Earth Day has become more of an institution over the years. You know, we've been going for 35 years, and there are groups all over the country, all over the world now, who celebrate Earth Day every year. And our position is that Earth Day should be every day, not just this one day of the year. Not that this day is not important, but I think that Earth Day as a day has really kind of gone down to the community level, and you have everything from river cleanups happening today to rallies to festivals. One of the biggest Earth Days this year is taking place in Ukraine, where they're having a massive rally in the center of Kiev about their environmental problems.
Of course, they really got hit very hard by Chernobyl. I was in Europe when that happened, and the Ukraine took a huge hit on that. And in fact, Chernobyl is in the Ukraine, isn't it?
It is in the Ukraine. Yeah. And next year is the anniversary of that. So.
Yeah. So they're particularly sensitized. But in the United States, I'm not hearing much coverage of this. I'm not seeing politicians posturing and grandstanding the way they historically have, which helps give it publicity. Could it be because the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House and the Supreme Court, and very large corporations who, in some cases, like General Electric, which owns NBC and has been having a running fight with the state of New York for years about whether or not to clean up the Hudson River, that some of these corporations and these politicians would really rather we just didn't think about Earth Day? Or am I being a conspiracy nut here?
Well, I think that, you know, politicians traditionally kind of go out on Earth Day, as you noted George Bush is doing it today, and try to show that they're doing the right thing. And I think it's something that they still feel they need to do to one degree or another. And I think you're right, though, that it's something that they don't want to focus on because they're doing a very poor job as stewards of the environment in this country.
Yeah. And what do you see? Well, before I get on to that, let me just remind my listeners, if you want to call your member of Congress, the House of Representatives, or the Senate, or for that matter, leave a message at the White House for the president or the vice president, the number for Capitol Hill, the unpublicized toll-free number for Congress, for everybody on Capitol Hill, all of the politicians, 1-877, toll-free, 877-SOB. U, the letter U, S-O-B, 1-877-S-O-B-U-S-O-B. It really is. It used to stand for Senate Office Building. And that's the toll-free number into Congress if you want to call and say, hey, it's Earth Day. What are you doing about the environment? So let me encourage, first of all, our listeners to become active in that small way. What are the main environmental problems we're facing on this Earth Day?
Well, one thing that I think is really the case is that although overall the laws that were passed in the 1970s have done a good job at cleaning up our air and water, there's a lot of problems still remaining. And if you look at the folks who live in our cities in this country, and a lot of them are lower income people of color, you know, in poorer neighborhoods, they still are facing a lot of environmental issues, everything from toxic waste to really poor air quality. The number of children with asthma in this country, the rate is going up every year. It's just alarming, and a lot of that is due to air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
We're still having problems with drinking water because the infrastructure that cleans up our drinking water is aging, and it's not being replaced. There are things that really need to be addressed, and people are just, and our politicians, whether local or national, are just not addressing them.
And what can be done to encourage them to do so?
Well, one of the things we're doing at Earth Day Network is trying to get down to the community level and talk, and working through community groups, talk to people about what they can do, that they can contact their politicians. We're working with a group that's doing a really interesting thing in a number of different communities this year. They're encouraging citizens to test their air and then report the results of that.
How do you test your
their
air?
Politicians. They give out these kits that are basically shaped like a bucket, and then you give them to the organizers, and they have the air tested, and then you can report that.
You mean you get a bucket full of air and you send it off to someplace?
Doesn't that sound funny?
Well, yeah, it makes a certain amount of sense, I suppose.
Yeah. And it shows the person who's testing the air not only what the air quality is in their community, but also empowers them to go to their elected officials and say, hey, my air is not very clean. What are you going to do about it?
What kind of results are people coming up with?
Well, these are the communities where this is happening are ones near major industrial facilities, and so the results are not very good. And this is the air that, you know, their old elderly parents are breathing and that their children are breathing, and it's not good.
And we have now before Congress, the administration has put forward this suggestion, this is in the new energy bill, that communities don't have to clean up their air if there is an upwind community which is contributing in any way to their pollution.
Right.
So New York doesn't have to clean up their air until Ohio does. Ohio doesn't have to clean up their air until Nebraska does. Nebraska doesn't have to clean up their air until Colorado does. Colorado doesn't have to clean up their air until California does.
Right.
And it could conceivably, California doesn't have to clean up their air until China does.
Right. And where does it stop?
Right.
It doesn't.
Well, and the Chinese are saying, hey, we're getting pollution from New York City here.
Yeah.
And they are. It's the amazing
it's
thing.
Amazing.
I mean, the planet, we're discovering that the planet is really a much more closed system, a smaller, more closed system than anybody had ever imagined. Now that they're able to track, you know, okay, where did this piece of soil or where did this particular molecule come from?
Oh, yeah, the stuff that they find in the ice packs in the Arctic and the Antarctic in terms of chemicals and things like that is really amazing.
Yeah.
And it's traveled thousands of miles to get there.
So is there a website where people can find out more information on this, people who want to get active in number one, for Earth Day today, and number two, more importantly, I think, broadly, participate in the environmental movement?
Oh, absolutely. Our website, which I'm biased, but I think is great, is www.earthday.net. And for Earth Day, you can actually type in the name of your community, and it'll pull up all the events in your area. So
that's great.
If you want to go out and help clean up a river or go to a park, it's right there. And we've also got lots of information on the programs and links to other groups that are doing good work and all kinds of stuff.
That's great. Mary Minette, we're speaking with from EarthDay.net. We have a caller who has a question for you. Is that all right with you? Take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Brian in New Jersey is on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I was just wondering where I could go and get one of these buckets to test my air. I think that's pretty cool.
You know, I'm actually not sure if they are just giving them out, but
who's the they that are giving them out?
It's a group called the Refinery Project, and I believe they're on the internet. And
so, if you Googled Refinery,
right here.
If you Googled Refinery Project, you might be able to find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks so much.
There's a start for you, Brian. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, by the way. Mary Minette, I know we only have a few minutes with you and maybe two or three more minutes if possible. I'm wondering what kind of impact the $8 million that ExxonMobil has pumped into over 40 think tanks has had on public perception of environmental problems and on the policy changes that have happened. I know, for example, the Bush administration has essentially wiped out the Superfund site, the Superfund fund. They bankrupted it. And now they're saying corporations don't have to pay into it anymore. It's going to be paid with taxpayer dollars. And, and they're trying to shift it onto the local communities. These kinds of things are happening, and they're happening without a lot of protest. And are we going back to the Love Canal days? And to what extent are these corporate-funded think tanks with fancy names like the Action Institute for the Study of Religious Liberty or the Advancement of Sound Science Center or the American Council for Capital Formation, all of which got big bucks from ExxonMobil, for example, what impact are they having, and how do you counter that?
Well, certainly they are having an impact on the debate. You know, they put out reports, they put out white papers, they that are being used to justify these rollbacks of environmental laws and things like allowing the Superfund tax on corporate polluters to expire. You know, and they unfortunately have a lot more money than the environmental community will ever hope to have. But you know, we are not giving up the fight. We have memberships. We are trying. We are building those memberships. We're trying to get the word out, and doing our level best to make sure that people have the real facts about these issues. But it's difficult. It's a real battle.
And how can people support the work that you're doing?
Well, if you wanted to support our organization, you can definitely go to our website and
EarthDay.net.
Exactly, and donate to us. We also have, if you donate up to a certain level, you can get a great Earth Day T-shirt from this year.
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
It's got a nice graphic on it that was designed for us by an artist in the Netherlands.
Great. Okay, Mary Minette, of the Vice President of the Earth Day Network, EarthDay.net. Mary, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it.
Okay.
It's great. It's 19 minutes, 18 minutes past the hour. Put a tiger in your think tank. Have you seen this? This was on Mother Jones, the magazine. It was also on their website, motherjones.com. ExxonMobil has pumped more than $8 million into more than 40 think tanks, media outlets, and consumer, religious, and even civil rights groups that preach skepticism about the oncoming climate catastrophe. Here with a representative overview, they say, this in the May-June 2005 issue. The Action Study for the Institute of Religious Liberty, they got 155,000. This is for the study of religious liberty, received $155,000 from ExxonMobil. And what do they say? They call CO2 caps, carbon dioxide caps, quote, a misguided attempt to solve a problem that may not even exist. The Acton Institute for the Study of Religious Liberty, weighing in on global warming with a little money, 155 grand, from ExxonMobil. More when we come back. 20 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do. And I blame you.
Telling the truth that multinational corporations really would rather you weren't all that aware of. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, the True People's Radio. Interesting discussion in the chat room about this. And just remember, Metaphase says, that neocons hold no values akin to Christians. Cheney and Bush curse like sailors. Their policies do not favor the poor, the oppressed, the fatherless, the widows. They cause more problems in the Middle East for the love of money. And I would add, Laura Bush is a cigarette smoker. Okay, I've slapped them off. Anyhow, welcome back to our program. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service is with us with a report today from Washington, D.C. Hey, Victoria, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much indeed. I know that Ellen is hoping that she can call into you, but she may already be on her way back to the States. So
from Iraq.
Sure. Yeah. From Iraq, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been in Iraq for the week. Well, as I'm sure you've been talking about, Washington, D.C. is all abuzz with the news that former Secretary of State Colin Powell has been involved in the back channels regarding John Bolton's nomination to be U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
Yeah, has he come out about it himself, or has it,
no.
or is it just a member of his staff who has come out about
well,
it?
Well, I'm not quite sure who it is who's come out, and whether it's his staff, whether it's the staff of the senators he reportedly spoke to. It's
right.
all a bit kind of vague, but it seems as though somebody wanted it to get out,
right.
And seemed to want it to get out before the weekend and the Sunday talk shows. So I don't know. But it's very interesting that it is, in fact, out today that he returned senators' phone calls asking him what he thought of John Bolton as the ambassador, and his reply seems to have been, paraphrasing now, not much.
Yeah, yeah. And Bolton worked for him.
Exactly.
I mean, this is not just some guy's opinion who happened to be in the same administration or happened to be in the same party or happened to work in the same town. He's talking about his employee!
Yes, exactly.
The guy who lied to him, the guy who hid information from him. I
yeah.
wonder why he's upset.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was this letter that was sent to the committee recommending Bolton, signed by five former secretaries of state, Republicans, but Powell was not one of them. So I think, you know, we had a clue there that he wasn't happy with this, but it's interesting that he has been this outspoken, at least outspoken in private, privately outspoken, inspoken, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
And, of course, yesterday we also heard from President Bush his strong support for the nominee. And so the Bush administration's kind of backed into a corner right now, and they're going to have to do some dancing.
Yeah, well, what kind of dance are they going to do?
I think they may do the dance of the in a way they have to do the dance of the nominee who is going to step down, because it's going to be very difficult to get Senators Hagel and Chafee and Voinovich to go along with this, particularly if, as seems likely, more stuff comes out about him.
Did you leak this story, Victoria, just so you could win your bet with me?
No, I honestly didn't. I swear. I mentioned that this morning.
Actually, I mentioned you in our discussion on my local talk radio show here in Portland, Oregon. And several people called and said they think you're right and I'm wrong.
I'm getting more and more terrified of being wrong at this point, because I've said this now for 10 days and it's kind of like, oh, no, I'm going to... But, you know, if I lose all credibility, what am I going to do?
Well, you know, calling one one weird Republican nomination right or wrong does not credibility make or lose, Victoria.
That's very true. That's very true.
Okay. So
it is fascinating, and I do think more will come out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. These kinds of things tend to pile on. With 30 seconds left here, what else is going on in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the very bizarre broadcast this weekend by Senator Bill Frist saying that Democrats are against people of faith, that's going to get some talking.
Has he
about.
Already recorded that?
I don't believe so, but it hasn't been clear to me from the stories that I've read.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to play a videotape.
Won't do it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he ends up backpedaling on that. Now, Denny Hastert, I caught this quote this morning. Denny Hastert says he's willing to revisit a change in the Ethics Committee rules that DeLay rewrote. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Could this be the death knell of Tom DeLay?
It could well be. That's another prediction.
And Trudeau, today is day 5 on the Tom DeLay death watch. It's remarkable. We've got to get theme music for that, you know? Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service. Thanks so much for calling,
you.
Victoria. It's always wonderful to hear from you. Thanks so much. Have a great one. 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Yes, Mr. DeLay, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Are coming to get you. Day 5 of the Tom DeLay Political Death Watch. Amazing. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to be on the air. This list that Mother Jones published, absolutely amazing. I'll get back to that after this. Let's take a few phone calls here. 1-866-889-8894. Marge in New Mexico on the line. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tom. I'm going to ask if you were aware of an article that Jeffrey Lean wrote. He's a British journalist. It was last winter, and I saw it, I think, on Common Dreams, an astounding article that nobody else seems to remark about. The article was about China making a decision to stop construction of 22 dams and power stations and
yes.
to reevaluate their energy policy to include renewable energy products, et cetera.
Yeah, I did see that. In fact, I talked about it on this program. I pointed out that China is doing long-range planning, and the Bush administration is incapable of doing long-range planning because they're being driven by corporate interests, and the corporations are not doing long-range planning because they're driven by their stock prices and their quarterly profits ratios, and that's because their CEO's compensation is a function of that, and it's a system that is absolutely broken and dysfunctional here in the United States, where you've got a communist dictatorship on the other side of the planet that kills people who disagree with them, puts dissidents in prison, commits genocide in Tibet, and they're ahead of us environmentally and with energy policy. What's wrong with this picture?
That's right, and it's another example of how China is going to outstrip us if we don't wake up.
Yes, absolutely. Thomas Friedman yesterday on the Chris Matthews show, he said, you know, everybody says we're engaged in a race to the bottom with China and Japan and India. He said, no, we're engaged in a race to the top. A race to the top. And I had not heard anybody outside of, you know, my show and shows like this, you know, progressive talk radio shows and progressive websites, talk in those terms. Here's Thomas Friedman, who is a free trader. He's the guy who really got the ball rolling. And people don't give him credit or, in my mind, blame for that. He wrote a book called The Olive Tree and the Lexus, which really promoted NAFTA and GATT and free trade and all that kind of stuff. And all these guys read it and said, oh, gee, this is great. We ought to do this. And boom, you know, it was one of the things that influenced Clinton. And now he's written this book called The World is Flat about how in many ways, how isn't it a wonderful thing? And no, I don't think it's a wonderful thing. but nonetheless, with regard to environmental policies, you're absolutely right, Marge. You're absolutely right. And the Chinese are way ahead of us, and it's crazy.
And I'm glad to hear that you're reporting that on your program. I haven't heard your program for several months now, but I can hear it again now. But it's important that we keep up to date with the news about China, what they're doing regarding energy.
Well, not just energy. China perceives us as their long-term competitor and potential enemy. And we then, not realizing that apparently, although we've had Republicans in this country hysterical about China for, you know, years and years, ever since Taiwan, ever since the 50s, but in the last 20 years, basically Republicans and conservative Democrats have been saying, well, let's just give to China our technology. Let's give them our jobs. Let's have them manufacture the chips that we use to make our missiles and our destroyers and our aircraft carriers and our jet airplanes. And we can't have a defense industry right now without China. This is so weird. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand what happened to the Republican Party that used to be concerned about national security. It's nuts.
We gave away our manufacturing base. We're giving away our solid economy that we had at the end of the Clinton administration. We're in very serious shape with China. They're in much better shape than we are.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's a disaster brought about by conservative economic policies.
Yep,
I agree. Marge, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening on. Is it KRSN there?
Los Alamos.
Yeah, in Los Alamos. Thanks so much
for
listening there.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Marge. And kudos to the station. Alice in Humboldt County listening on.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Alice. I want to say KGOE. Is that the station you're listening on?
I do know who my congressman is.
Okay, good.
He's Mike Thompson.
Mike Thompson. And is he a Democrat?
A Democrat.
Uh-huh. And how's he voting?
But knowing how much harm it will do to the poor, he is voting for some of these Bush bills.
Oh, no.
He just voted for the bankruptcy bill.
Oh, my.
I hope everyone will use the 800 number and ask him to explain that.
Yes, 877-SOB-USOB, the toll-free number for Congress.
Okay,
great. Alice, thanks for that note. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's always wonderful to hear from you and know that you're still out there being an activist and stirring things up and keeping holding the flag high and spreading the truth.
We
absolutely must. Thanks so much, Alice. Great to hear from you.
Bye
now.
Bye-bye.
21 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. Ed in Capistrano, California on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, thank you, Tom. Hey, the problem is that we're referring to China as China, and it's communist China. China.
There you go. And it's the people's... you're absolutely right. I need to begin referring to it as communist China.
Because,
because Taiwan is the other China.
Yeah, the Pope and President Reagan defeated communism. No, they didn't. They defeated Russia.
Yeah, or the Soviet Union.
I don't even want to say they defeated it. Russia fell apart when they were around.
Under their own weight. Their system was imploding from the get-go.
Communist China outstrips
Maybe
Russia.
We should call it Red China, Ed, since the Republicans have adopted red as their color and given the blue to the Democrats.
We need to frame it in a way that people understand. We are still in a Cold War.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped. I got scared when Nixon went over there and everybody thought it was a great thing.
Yes.
No, it's not great.
We can sell them Coca-Cola now. Or Pepsi, actually. Nixon was in the employ of the Pepsi Corporation, was he not?
I mean,
not when he was president, but either before or after that, he was a lobbyist for Pepsi.
But we need to start framing it in a different way to wake people up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we can't produce a bullet.
There you go. Well said, Ed. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
I appreciate it. Well, the red communist China, you can't string communist and red together. It's a redundancy. Communist Chinese, absolutely. Just to wrap this thing up with Exxon, the Earth Day, ExxonMobil, just this one corporation, $8 million into more than 40 think tanks. The Advancement of Sound Science Center, they were given $40,000. It's run by FoxNews.com's Steve Malloy. The American Council for Capital Formation was given $250,000. So what do they say? They say, and I quote, "Science questions must be addressed before the United States and its allies embark on a path as non-productive as that of the Kyoto Protocol." The American Council on Science and Health, sounds like a nice organization, right? The American Council on Science and Health, $90,000 from ExxonMobil. They say, quote, "Policymakers can safely take several decades to plan a response to global warming." The American Enterprise Institute, they received $960,000 from ExxonMobil. In 2004, they published an article titled, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." By the way, Dick Cheney is a former senior fellow of the American Enterprise Institute, as is that guy who does political commentary on CNN. Do you remember his name, Louise? I'm drawing a blank on that guy's name. Anyhow, he's the guy who Judy Woodruff has on all the time. He's on American Enterprise Institute. The American Legislative Exchange Council, $712,000 from ExxonMobil. They published Michael's paper that claims, quote, "global warming could actually save lives." Aren't you pleased? The Annapolis Center for Science-Based Public Policy, they got $427,500 from ExxonMobil. And they say, and I quote, "Answering questions about global warming takes more than a few thermometers, an agenda, and a press release," end quote. Although it appears that they're doing it with an agenda and a press release. Arizona State University of Climatology, $49,500. They got this amount in 2001 when their office was headed by Robert C. Balling, a known climate change, quote, skeptic, end quote. He's no longer there. Presumably Arizona State University is no longer getting money from them. Atlas Economic Research got $440,000. What did they say? They said, "As the science behind global warming becomes increasingly sketchy, many environmentalists clutch even harder to their views." Atlas fellow DeRoy Murdoch says, "You call this global warming?" In the Washington Times, May 31st, 1996, Reverend Moon's newspaper. Cato Institute got $75,000. Mitchell's, the guy who wrote the infamous article I referenced earlier, is a senior fellow there. The Capital Research Center, $115,000, another right-wing nonprofit, so-called watchdog group. They say, "Scientists disagree about climate change, but you wouldn't know that from the Kyoto Treaty." Yeah, right. The Center for a New Europe received $40,000 from ExxonMobil. They say, "Not only is the scientific basis of global warming increasingly uncertain, but Kyoto will also ultimately prove to be an economic disaster for Europe and the developing world. Kyoto will chill the global economy," says CNR President Tim Evans. Yes. Now, keep in mind, these are the groups that are putting out the flack, the flack folks, the front people, from whom you will hear on right-wing talk shows, on CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNBC, certainly on faux news, with their phony news reports. The Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, they received $40,000 from ExxonMobil. They called the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment, quote, as phony as a $3 bill, end quote. The Center for the Study of CO2 and Global Change, they received $55,000 from ExxonMobil. They call CO2 emissions, quote, a force for good, enhancing the organic matter that sustains all of humanity. I mean, I suppose in some way they are correct that it's organic matter, because the science definition, you know, Chem 101, Organic Chemistry 101, is that something is organic if it contains carbon. If it doesn't contain carbon, it's inorganic. That's the literal scientific definition. You know, you go to school and that's what they tell you. It has nothing to do with the word organic in the context of, you know, good for you. Citizens for a Sound Economy, they received $305,250 from ExxonMobil. This is according to MotherJones.com. They say, quote, the science behind global warming is inconclusive, and to teach otherwise is fear-mongering. Yes. The Center for a Constructive Tomorrow, they received $252,000 from ExxonMobil. Their website features, quote, some surprisingly clean facts about SUVs, end quote. Competitive Enterprise Institute, they receive $1,380,000. They liken the danger of global warming to that of an alien invasion. You're going to see aliens show up before global warming happens, says the Competitive Enterprise Institute. The Congress of Racial Equality, $40,000 from ExxonMobil. They say there is no, quote, convincing real evidence that humans are disrupting the Earth's climate, end quote. This year, their Martin Luther King Day civil rights honoree was Karl Rove. Consumer Alert received $35,000. They fund the Cooler Heads Coalition denialist website globalwarming.org, a phony website about global warming. Don't these groups sound like legitimate civil rights groups, legitimate consumer interest groups, legitimate science groups? The Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies, they received $30,000 from ExxonMobil. They say, and I quote, the mounting evidence over the most recent years demonstrates that the forecasts for global warming were greatly exaggerated. This new evidence suggests that global warming may not even be occurring. Right. The Foundation for Research on Economics and the Environment, they received $100,000 from ExxonMobil. They say, given the uncertainty around warming and the facts that some models predict that temperature increases of up to 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit could have beneficial effects, increasing our adaptability to change may be more important than cutting emissions. Yes, why don't we grow gills and live in the ocean? The Fraser Institute, $60,000 from ExxonMobil. This is a Vancouver-based think tank that questions the, quote, still speculative risk of global warming, end quote. Frontiers of Freedom, you see their flacks on the talk shows. They received $612,000 from ExxonMobil. They say, to listen to eco-radicals tell the story, it's a proven scientific fact that the climate is warming and that mankind is responsible. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yeah. The George C. Marshall Institute. Boy, that sounds official and legitimate. They received $310,000 from ExxonMobil. They are challenging global warming and promoting missile defense, have been since 1989. The Heartland Institute, $312,500 from ExxonMobil. They compare Michael Crichton, who has written this new novel, basically saying there's no global warming and the people who say it are hysterical, to Rachel Carson and Upton Sinclair. And the list goes on and on and on. Tom in Minneapolis on the line with us. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling 866-889-8894. What's up?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to expand a little bit on that previous caller about framing language and referring to China.
As communist China. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like you said, to even go further and put the word dictatorship in, because even these Limbaugh followers forget that communism means an autocratic dictatorship, and they're duped, thinking that it's only an economic policy and forget that it's also politically a dictatorship. So I always,
yes,
when I refer to that, I say, like you say, a dictatorship. And like when I refer to the Great Depression, I always put the word Republican in front of it. And when I refer to fascism, I put the word right wing in front of it. And when I refer to labor movement, I put democracy in the workplace. It drives them nuts with the water cooler wars, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also this morning on Minnesota radio, they kept saying fully fund education. I said, no, fully invest. Investing implies a return on your money. Funding just sounds like a cost, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I wish you would start doing again your neuro-linguistic programming stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny how much, actually, how much flack I got for that.
Really?
Yeah, people are like, "Are you teaching people to manipulate, or is this all nonsense?" Or, you know, it's
interesting. No, it's about getting to
But
the
I didn't
truth.
Stop it because of the flack. I stopped it because we were moving, as sure. you know, as you now know. But well, yeah, we may get back to that. It's on the and also I had said most of the major things, and they're archived on our website. So, but we'll see. Tom, thanks for the call.
Good.
Great to hear from you. I do appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 10 minutes before the hour.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day. Here's Tom Hartman.
Round here, we always stand up straight.
In Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me.
Fool me, can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again. Oh my, welcome back, my friends. 5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number and second hour of our program. Tony in Grand Rapids on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tom. Happy Earth Day.
Thank you. Happy Earth Day to you, too, Tony.
Yeah. First, I'd just like to make a comment on your last conversation about that global warming stuff that they brought. Where do these people get their information from? The Ministry of Truth?
Yeah. Well, in this case, the Ministry of Truth is called ExxonMobil. And I only read you the first three pages of a 14-page list I have.
Oh.
I mean, it was alphabetical. I had started at A, and I had gotten up to, the Consumer Alert, the Federalist Society. That was as far as I'd gone. It goes all the way to, on the last page, the Tech Central Science Foundation, which received $95,000. And, you know, the virtual headquarters for global warming deniers. The Science and Environmental Policy. Well, you know, I need not continue anyhow. You get the idea.
Yeah. So. Well, do you know what the president will be doing for Earth Day today or not?
He says he wants to get his hands dirty. He's going to go out and clear brush.
Dirty or bloody?
Right. Well, they're already bloody, in my opinion. He has the blood of hundreds of thousands, or at least 100,000 people on his hands, and you know, not to mention the deaths in Texas before that. And this right. just, but don't get me started on that.
I hadn't heard what he was doing. I figured you'd know. So
yeah, he said, and I quote, "I'm looking forward to getting my hands dirty," which is a quote I'd love to have of his on tape, but I don't, unfortunately. Tony, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Vin in Santa Fe's on the line. Hey, Vin, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's on your mind, Vin?
Picking up, well, you know, happy Earth Day, and of course,
thanks.
Global warming's very heavily on my mind. Picking up from our conversation of last week about networked biological systems, I think lots of people tend to think single factor, single issue, and, you know, lots of people are thinking about rising temperature.
Right.
But the deal is that, you know, when you have a system as complex as the planet, you know, and you start pushing it with multiple disturbances, as you know,
right. Rising temperature
you're going to provoke
could...
enhanced fluctuation.
That's right. Rising temperature actually is leading to bigger thunderstorms.
Right. We're seeing it all over the
exactly.
planet.
Wilder weather, and it could lead to a new ice age. In fact, the Pentagon is very concerned about this, as am I.
Said God doesn't play dice with the universe, but we're playing it with the planet right
there
now.
There you go, to paraphrase Einstein. Well
Absolutely.
Said, Vin. Thanks a lot for the call.
Take
I appreciate
care, Tom.
It. You too. And do good and keep listening. Keep spreading the word. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. If you want to be on the Viagra for Your Brain program, I'm Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends. Welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for we, the people of the United States of America. As the founders and framers so eloquently said in the first words of the United States Constitution, we, the people, not they, the corporations, not they, the royalty, not they, the aristocrats, not the 7,000 families in America that earn more than $10 million a year, not the media star, no, we, the people, not the Limbaughs of the world and the Jennings, and we, the people of the United States of America. We are the ones who should be running this country. What has happened? How has it slipped through our fingers? And how do we get it back? We begin by becoming active, getting out there, getting involved, joining, whether it is on the internet or whether it's in your local community, joining local political organizations. Or organizations, it may not even have to do with politics, local environmental organizations, today's Earth Day, local civil rights organizations, local women's rights organizations, local whatever your particular, whatever your particular passion is, getting out there and getting involved with it. 1-866-889-8894 is the telephone number for our program. And if you'd like to drop into our chat room, which I seem to have been logged out of, let me type into here again. Maybe we had an internet burp. Who knows? But anyhow, there, I'm back in the chat room. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com and click on live chat. It'll take you to the message board, and then you can click live chat again, and it'll take you into the chat room. 1-866-889-8894. Dana in Chicago on the line. Hey, Dana, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Tom. You and a caller were wondering where the W was today, and he's in the Smoky Mountains, quote, clearing a trail, end quote.
Oh, really? Yes. A PR opportunity in the Smoky Mountains, yes. paid for with your tax dollars and mine.
Right, a photo op in the Smoky Mountains. That's his passion today.
Yeah, a photo op. The Smoky Mountains, which, if he had his way, if my recollection of geography is right, because I've driven through the Smoky Mountains, there through the Carolinas and into Tennessee and mm-hmm. up the Appalachians there. Mm-hmm. The Smoky Mountains that in Virginia, West Virginia, the Smoky Mountains that if he had his way would be what do they call that when they chop the top of a mountain off to get at the coal? There's a word for it. Anyhow,
topping.
Yeah, mountain topping was what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure.
It'd be reduced to piles of rubble, basically.
There you go, and fill in the valleys and flatten it all out, and hey, maybe it'll be cropland. Except it won't be cropland because real soil is produced by the roots of trees at the rate of about 1 inch every 400 years, which most people don't realize, but it's in my book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. Every 400 years, a forest will produce an inch of soil. It's a rather slow process, but that's the roots going way down into the real rock down there and busting it up and bringing out the nutrients and then bringing them up into the tree. And then as the tree, as the leaves fall off the tree and then eventually the trunk falls, those micronutrients, those minerals are now released back into the soil as nutrients and boom, you've got soil. But I digress.
Yes, I'll think of all of that while we're pounding up the cement that somebody put in the backyard of the house we just bought.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Actually, the cement is not soil, you know. The cement is from sea animals from millions of years ago.
Well, whatever it is, it causes drainage problems.
Yes.
We get water in the basement instead of, runoff.
Yeah. Well, cement is a good thing for that. Dana, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. Thank
you.
Bye now. MoveOn.org has just sent out an email. I wish I had known about this 2 hours ago when we were talking with Bernie Sanders. MoveOn.org has just sent out an email asking, should MoveOn back Bernie? Now, this may be an email that only went to MoveOn members in Vermont because the headline says, and it came to Louise's email, and they have us down as Vermont residents. It says, Dear MoveOn member in Vermont, and then they go on to point out that Jim Jeffords is going to retire from the United States Senate, and Bernie Sanders, member of the United States House of Representatives, as regular on this program, is probably going to run for the Senate, as you heard on this program. He says he's definitely going to run for the Senate. So they asked the question, so should MOVE ON raise money to send Representative Sanders to the Senate? We don't pretend to know Vermont politics as well as you do, so we're turning to you to help make this important decision. Please let us know what you think by filling out a short survey at, and then it's the MOVE ON PAC, and it's, but it's a long URL that I couldn't read on the radio. And they say, we'll let you know what we're hearing from you on Monday. So over the weekend, Louise and I will be filling out our MoveOn.org responses. I'm guessing that this only went out an email to people in Vermont, Louise. I'm guessing that, you know, most of our listeners won't be able to respond to it, but we do have listeners in Vermont, and I want to encourage those of you in Vermont to be sure to reply to that. John Negroponte voted through the Senate and installed yesterday, confirmed and installed as the country's first Director of National Intelligence. 98-2 vote. The only no vote came from two senators, Tom Harkin of Iowa and Ron Wyden of Oregon. Wyden said he opposed confirmation because he thought that Negroponte had played down human rights abuses when he served as ambassador to Honduras. Now here's the let's put two and two together question for the day, or comment or observation or whatever. You'll recall back when John Negroponte was the U.S. ambassador to Honduras in the 1980s that some of his activities got outed. The Baltimore Sun, for example, the newspaper, the Baltimore Sun, did a series of articles about the secret CIA-trained Honduran Army unit, Battalion 316, that used, quote, shock and suffocation devices in interrogations. Prisoners were often kept naked and, when no longer useful, killed and buried in unmarked graves. End of quote. Seriously. Really and truly. Well, I guess you knew that. The whole Contra thing, right? Ollie North, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan didn't remember. And I think he really didn't remember. I am convinced that at least three of the last 4 years of his presidency, he wasn't there. George Herbert Walker Bush was running the country. Probably more or less ran the country for 12 years. And now we've got 8 years of his son. What is that, 20 years altogether of the Bush dynasty running the United States? And running us into the ground, I may add. But in any case, while Negroponte was down as the U.S. down in South America as the U.S. ambassador to Honduras, they were finding bodies in Honduras. They were pulling bodies out of the rivers. And everybody was like, well, who are these people? Why did they die? This was not a specific military action. These were not, you know, armed forces who are dead. Who are these people? Why did they die? It turned out that the U.S. had been funding death squads in Nicaragua. Death squads who were going out and killing people who they suspected of being disloyal. This is McCarthyism on steroids. That would be the, yeah, big guy says, that would be the Bush oligarchy, Tom. Yes, absolutely, in our chat room. Now comes yesterday's Associated Press story. Alexandra Zavas writes, Dateline Baghdad, Iraq. Iraq's interim president said the corpses, well, actually, that's the second sentence. The first sentence, distraught families pored over the photographs Thursday of dozens of bodies pulled from the Tigris River, searching for loved ones who disappeared in a notorious insurgent stronghold. An insurgent stronghold. That would be sort of like the South American equivalent of Nicaragua. A country that doesn't like our activities and we don't like their government. And we've decided we're going to do something about it. And now all of a sudden dead bodies are showing up. And, gee, what a surprise. A coincidence, perhaps. Negroponte was the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. And all of a sudden now, as soon as he becomes ambassador to Iraq, distraught families are poring over photographs looking for the bodies of their loved ones who disappeared from an area known to be hostile to the United States. Not in battle. Not in battle. And when he was the U.S. ambassador to Honduras, in Honduras, they were pulling bodies out going, huh, how did these people die? What's going on? Well, turns out, As A.K. Gupta pointed out in IndyMedia.org, NYC, New York City's IndyMedia, this is from the latest Independent, actually. A report by the Wall Street Journal from February 16th revealed that pop-up militias are proliferating in Iraq. Not only is the U.S. aware of these illegal militias, but the Pentagon is arming, training, and funding them for use in counterinsurgency operations. Do you get it? This is news speak for we are funding death squads in Iraq. Negroponte, who put together death squads, or has been accused of putting together death squads in Nicaragua, and is now in charge of all U.S. intelligence, listening in on you and me right now, Negroponte went over to Iraq, and all of a sudden, the same thing seems to be happening in Iraq. Most disturbing, writes the Independent, most disturbing, one militia in particular, the, quote, Special Police Commandos, end quote, is being used throughout Iraq and has been singled out by a U.S. general. A U.S. general, this would be John P. Abizade, a name that might be familiar to you. A U.S. general as conducting death squad strikes known as the Salvador Option. The Salvador Option? As in El Salvador, as in death squads, as in Negroponte. So let's see. Negroponte, well, here, a little more of this. The militias, of these militias, at least three are linked to Alawi. Jaffe writes, first came the Muta Brigade, the unit formed by the Order of Alawi. The leader of the Special Police Commandos, General Adnan Thavit, participated in a disastrous 1996 coup against Saddam Hussein that Alawi coordinated. These guys were both working for the CIA at the time. Thavit was jailed and subsequently released shortly before the 2003 U.S. invasion. He is also the uncle of Iraq's interim minister of the interior, under which the commandos operate. Connecting a few dots here. A new security advisor, the Iraqi paper, Al Nahad, reported on June 21st that the Interior Ministry, this guy's uncle, quote, appointed a new security advisor to assist in the establishment of a new General Security Directorate, a GSD, modeled on the erstwhile General Security Directorate, one of the agencies of the Saddam Hussein government, dissolved by the CPA in 2003, in May of 2003. Saddam Hussein had this group called the General Security Directorate, and we have now created a group called the General Security Directorate. They are operating, and Saddam's group was death squads, and this group is death squads. In fact, Jane's Intelligence Digest commented at the time that the new GSD, quote, will include former members of Saddam Hussein's feared security services, collectively known as the Mukhabarat. Two and two? What does it add up to you? 20 minutes past the hour.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Yes, now Negroponte is moving up close to us. So he goes to Honduras and dead bodies start appearing in the river. He goes to Iraq and dead bodies start appearing in the river. And now he's in charge of intelligence in the United States. I'll just leave it there. Jim in Pittsburgh, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Hey, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess I guess I live in a state that was blessed with little intelligent people that we voted the Bush administration down here.
Yeah.
But we're being penalized now. Right now, one of our congresswomen was appointed to head the investigation on Tom DeLay.
Uh-huh.
But it was also noted this Congresswoman Melissa Hart met with Mr. Cheney recently a few times.
She's a Republican or a Democrat?
She's Republican.
Okay.
And I'm wondering now that she's heading the investigation on the Ethics Committee, was this a question and answer that's supposed to be gone? You know, this is my opinion. I'm thinking that they're orchestrating what the investigation is going to be about.
Oh, of course they are, Jim.
So yesterday, I believe it was, that I heard on the news that this same Congresswoman, Melissa Hart, got $15,000 campaign money from Tom DeLay.
Yeah, surprise, you know? Surprise.
Okay, now I want you to know what's happening in the Pittsburgh area here in Pennsylvania. We have a legislator in Harrisburg serving right now that informed the federal authorities on an innocent man that he sent him a letter with white powder in it. The man was investigated thoroughly. He had the lie detector test and everything. I don't know whether that went on the Homeland Security database or not. But guess where the legislator is? In Harrisburg, allowed to work every day. I called. I asked. I said, why are we letting this man in here? I said, if he's innocent, pay him with interest. But
yeah.
No. If he's guilty, he's a terrorist, and he's in our midst, in our Harrisburg. You know, what if somebody votes against something that he don't want?
Yeah, well.
And he is. And
I have to say, Jim, I got to tell you, the definition of terrorist, as in somebody who spreads fear,
yeah.
somebody who is willing to kill in order to spread fear, in my opinion, and I realize this may sound like a real extremist statement, but I have to say that in my mind, in my opinion, many members of the Bush administration are behaving like terrorists. They are terrorizing the American people.
Well, you know,
they are terrorizing
happened?
The Iraqi people. They are terrorizing the world right now.
You know what happened yesterday? There was a high school kid, you know, that they got on the internet for using some keywords. They arrested him and locked him up. This man in Harrisburg wasn't locked up. This man is operating.
Well, he's a Republican, right?
Pardon me?
He's a Republican?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well there you go.
You know what? He crossed over. He voted both ways. I'll give him that much credit.
Yeah.
But the other thing, after this happened, now, after this innocent man was investigating that, I tried to make sure that he has to pay to clear this man's name all the way through the documents, you know, if he's listed as a terrorist. The Terrorist Act was performed. It was performed, so it happened. Why isn't the feds in here?
I don't know.
Why isn't Melissa Hart asking why this man is involved?
Well, here's a better question, Jim. Why are you asking me instead of asking somebody in your community who might know? I mean, have you called the local police department?
Every talk show.
No, forget about the talk shows. I'm talking about the police department, the FBI, the state attorney general's office, the secretary of state's office. Well, not the secretary of state's office.
Have you ever had your phone tapped?
Sure.
Okay, so have I. And I'm going back as far as 68 when...
Yeah,
you know,
but what does that have to do with anything? I mean,
well, you know what? I'm 73 years old now, and
okay.
Wait a minute, sir. Let me just say this.
Okay.
I came from a family, five brothers and myself served in three different wars: Second War, Korean War, and Vietnam War.
Yes, sir.
And I think we served to preserve our constitutional rights and our freedom from all that. And if I can get something out to the people like you do, then I'm glad. I'm doing something before I die.
You're absolutely right.
I'm giving something back to the younger generation.
And I salute your service, Jim. I salute your service.
Well, that's
thank you
nothing.
For standing
you know,
up for your country.
There's millions of people died. I lived.
Yeah.
All my brothers lived through the wars.
Yeah. Well, it's
wounded,
it's a good,
yes, but...
it's a good thing. Jim,
know,
we're out of time. I got to run along.
Thank you
for your time, sir. Thank you for calling and raising this issue, and I hope that you can pursue this through some official channels and get some good answers.
You know
answers.
Another thing we were blessed with here? Two of the worst. A Congressman Santorum.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Now it gets even stranger. Welcome back, by the way, my friends. Welcome to the real free speech zone. It gets even stranger. The Washington Post on February 25th noted that Adnan Thabit, this is a guy whose uncle is the head of the Division of Interior, the Department of the Interior, that controls and appoints the General Security Directorate in Iraq, the new death squads. On February 25th, the Washington Post notes that Thabit, quote, quoting the Washington Post, commands a force of about 10,000 men, which would make them larger than the British military. 10,000 people. I mean, 10,000 people. This is huge. Make them larger than the British military. It's the second largest army in Iraq. The first largest, excuse me, it would be the third largest army. The first largest being the United States Army. The second largest being the army made up of, quote, contractors. That would be our mercenary army, 20,000 mercenaries in Iraq. Sadly, some died over the last few days with this helicopter that got shot down. Some of these folks who were working out of Blackwater, I believe. We shouldn't have been putting these people in harm's way, you know? We shouldn't be putting our soldiers in harm's way. We shouldn't be asking independent contractors to be in harm's way. It's just, the whole thing is just wrong. A force of 10,000 men. We have a death squad now that we've created that's 10,000 men strong. Larger than the British military. Last October, in the assault on Samarra, remember the assault on the city of Samarra? It was the death squad folks who came in, well, the General Security Directorate. They were called the death squads when Saddam ran them. It's like a, they include former members of Saddam Hussein's feared security services, collectively known as the Mukhabarat. So they took over Samarra. This was called a model for how to retake a city when the insurgents have established a foothold. Remember that? Don't you remember when this happened? The commandos have also become a fixture in major cities such as Ramadi and Mosul. In Ramadi, the Stars and Stripes describe the commandos as, quote, the Iraqi forces that might soon be responsible for security in the city, end quote. The Pentagon publishes a paper. The tagline is Iraq's official weekly command information reporter. It's called the Advisor. So the official Pentagon publication says on December 25th, and I quote, special police commandos have been deployed all over Iraq to hunt down insurgents. Oh, we're calling them police commandos now. Isn't that what Negroponte called the death squads in Honduras? And El Salvador. Donald Rumsfeld on February 16th said that the commandos are among, quote, the forces that are going to have the greatest leverage on suppressing and eliminating the insurgency. Yes. The Independent goes on to add, sweeping countless thousands of Sunni Arab males off the streets has had an effect. The prison population under U.S. control alone has exploded to over 10,000. The insurgents have responded by shifting their targets, concentrating attacks more on Iraqi security forces, and they have intensified economic sabotage, crippling the electrical and petroleum infrastructure. Incredible. At the same time, are we making the world safer for terrorism? Are we making America safer with regard to terrorism? Well, according to the report, Patterns of Global Terrorism, produced by the State Department every year, has been doing it for 19 years now. In 2004, the report showed initially that there was a decrease in terrorist activity in 2003 over 2002. And Condoleezza Rice came out and held a news conference and said, this is clear evidence that we are prevailing in the fight against terror. Clear evidence. Yeah. In fact, an analysis by Congressman Waxman, Henry Waxman to the rescue. I've got to tell you, Henry Waxman has got to be one of the finest members of Congress. I am so impressed by this guy. I wonder how long it'll be before Tom DeLay starts raising money to politically take out Waxman, as you know, the way that they did with the former head of the Senate, Tom Daschle. An analysis by Representative Waxman revealed that the exact opposite was true. Significant terrorism attacks actually reached a 20-year high in 2003, not a low. And so Waxman comes out and makes this public. He says, hey, guys, you know, let me tell the world, there are actually more terrorist attacks than there were, not fewer. So then Secretary of State Colin Powell later issued revised data, which showed a major increase in deaths and injuries from terrorist attacks in 2003, with significant attacks having reached a 20-year high that year. Now come the statistics on 2004, and if you don't count any terrorist attacks at all inside Iraq, regardless of how you would, you know, what you would call a terrorist attack, if you don't count anything happening in Iraq, if you pretend that Iraq is not on the planet, there were three times as many terrorist attacks in 2004 as there were in 2003. And 2003 was the high record for the 20-year period. And so, does Condi Rice hold another news conference and say we're prevailing in the war against terror? No. What she does is she says, we're not going to issue this report anymore. In fact, I'm not even going to release the one I have. The only reason that we know that over 700 people died in the terrorist attacks in 2004 and that the report said that is because people on her staff who are terrified that their identities might be revealed leaked the information. My goodness. And at the meantime, 55% of Americans, 53%, excuse me, of Americans feel that Iraq, the war in Iraq was not worth it. And yet, the media is treating this as a non-story. Oh, it's not a story that most Americans are opposed to the war in Iraq. Did you hear it on CBS? Did you hear it on NBC, owned by the defense contractor GE? Did you hear it on ABC? NBC, by the way, now Brian Williams doing the evening news, the guy who says that it's part of his job responsibility or his duty as an American to listen to Rush Limbaugh every day. I am not kidding you. Go to MediaMatters.org and you'll see it, or fair.org. Very little press coverage of why it might be that only 45% of Americans feel the Iraq invasion was, quote, worth it, and 53% say it wasn't. This actually covered in Editor and Publisher, America's oldest journal covering the newspaper industry. You get how strange this is? It's like there's a news blackout. Absolutely odd. Well, in the meantime, the radical right, as the Center for American Progress points out, the radical right is scheming to control judges now. The Senate has already confirmed more than 200 of President Bush's judicial picks. The battle's heating up, however, over a handful of the most radical, most extreme nominations. Senator Majority Leader Bill Frist, looking for political gain, has decided on a strategy to push these nominations through. Smudge the line between church and state. Twist the issue by playing the religious card and use piety for profit. Radical right-wing evangelical leaders, notes the progress report, in the meantime are using Senator Frist's right back to push their agenda to bypass the federal system of checks and balances to exert more ideological control over judges. Over judges. The only independent branch of the three branches of our government. The founder is very wise in this. In many, you know, local areas, the judges are actually elected and have to run for re-election every couple of years. And you could argue that at a local level, that's a desirable thing because then the judges are responding to the local community and reflecting the local community's standards. You could also argue that that's a bad thing because sometimes the local community and the local community standards are a little off. For example, all those judges in the South back in the 30s and 40s who looked the other way when lynchings were happening, or who sent off for execution people who were guilty of the crime of being charged with a crime while black. But at least at the federal level, we don't elect our judges. They are appointed by the United States Senate in what is supposed to be a bipartisan process. Ultimately, ideally, certainly envisioned by the founders as a nonpartisan process, the question being, who is qualified for the job? And historically, that has been the question. Who is qualified for the job? Of course, there have been political issues. John C. Marshall, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, appointed by John Adams as he was, or the second Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, excuse me, appointed by John Adams as he was leaving office. John Marshall, the cousin of Thomas Jefferson, ruled from that bench for 20-some-odd years, made Jefferson crazy. He was the first right-wing extremist to be a Supreme Court Chief Justice. In 1803, in the Marbury versus Madison case, he was the one who came up with the idea that the Supreme Court had the power to strike down rule laws passed by Congress. It's not in the Constitution. But the court ruled it and still agrees with itself. But in any case, the court, however you characterize it, see, I have my problems with the court. The right-wingers have their problems with the court. But the reality is that the court isn't answerable to us unless they've committed a crime, in which case the Constitution clearly provides for the opportunity for impeachment by the Senate. A trial can be held in the Senate, and judges can be impeached, very simply. So if they do something that is a crime, but if they simply rule in a way you don't like, tough luck. They are an independent branch of government. They are not answerable to the voters. They are answerable to the Constitution. And the founders in their wisdom said, okay, we're going to have two legislative branches. One will be answerable to the voters and one will be answerable to the states. This was initially in 1787 when the Constitution was put together. The House of Representatives will be elected by the voters of the various states, and the Senate will be appointed by the state however the states decide to do it. In some states, the governor made the appointment. In some states, the legislature made the appointment. In all states, by the late 1800s, it was a totally corrupt process, and the Senate was full of very corrupt people and totally in the pockets of the railroads and the big corporations. And thus we had the robber baron era. And thus the American people stood up and said, wait a minute, enough is enough. We want to throw those bums out. They are controlling the Senate, and things, the wrong things are happening. We want the ability to elect our senators. And starting around 1880, 1890... people started agitating for this. It took a generation. It took 30 years. In 1917, they finally got a law passed through Congress that would cause senators to be directly elected by the states, and three-quarters of the states ratified it, and it became the 17th, I believe it was the 17th Amendment in 1917. I'll have to check. Maybe it was the 19th Amendment, 1917. Whatever. It was in 1917. Direct election of the Senate. So now we have the senators being elected, we have the members of Congress being elected, we have the president being elected, the courts not elected. That was the idea of the founders, and it was ultimately a good idea, that the courts not be partisan bodies. But no, the right-wing radicals, they're not happy with that. Tom DeLay says he's looking at that article in the Constitution, which says as long as justices engage in good behavior, they can keep their jobs. Literally, that phrase, good behavior, is what it says in the Constitution. Now, nobody told DeLay, apparently, that it's the Senate that would have to impeach a judge. He thinks he's going to do it in the House of Representatives. Although the House of Representatives, I suppose, could bring a bill of impeachment, as they did against Bill Clinton, against a Supreme Court justice, and then the trial would be held in the Senate. DeLay is threatening the Supreme Court with this. At the same time, now we have Bill Frist going before the Family Research Council this Justice Sunday, along with another speaker, another member of this bunch, who has come out on the record as saying that Catholics aren't real Christians, that it's a phony religion. He's a Protestant, and Bill Frist. Justice Sunday coming. This is a right-wing attempt at a coup d'etat. As Center for American Progress points out, this past March, two radical right-wing evangelical leaders, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, which is who's going to hold this thing this Sunday, and James Dobson, focused on the family, met privately with supporters at a conference in Washington. The LA Times got an audio recording of this, and Perkins said, and I quote, There's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to take a black robe off the bench. Say what? Perkins and Dobson want to skip the constitutional process of impeachment and remove judges who don't toe their ultra-right partisan line using a backdoor method. How are they going to do that? They're going to strip the funding of the courts. Congress holds the purse strings. So they're going to say, in fact, Dobson spelled it out. He says, very people know this, that the Congress can simply disenfranchise a court. They don't have to fire anybody or impeach them and go through the battle. All they have to do is say the Ninth Circuit Court doesn't exist anymore, and it's gone. Gone! 10 minutes before the hour.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Take another little chunk out of the Constitution. Oh, my goodness. Here we have these two right-wing evangelical leaders. Radical right-wing evangelical leaders. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, sponsoring the hoop-de-doop that Bill Frist will be speaking at this weekend. And James Dobson of Focus on the Family, the guy who sees homosexuality in square bob sponge pants, but never noticed it on Frasier or in Rick Santorum. Now, he's just a metrosexual. Anyhow, these guys, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to take a black robe off the bench. All they have to do is say the Ninth Circuit Court doesn't exist anymore, and it's gone. Perkins agreed cutting off funding is a great way to turn judges into puppets. Notes the folks at the Center for American Progress saying instead of going through the deliberative process of impeachment, quote, just take away the bench. Take away all of his staff. He's just sitting there with nothing to do. No wonder Tom DeLay finds it so outrageous that Justice Kennedy does his research on the Internet. Remember that Tom DeLay going, Justice Kennedy, he's not quality, he's no good. He does his research on the Internet. How dare he? Research on the Internet? Well, what that might mean is that he can operate without a staff. And if Tom DeLay's theory about how to get rid of the Supreme Court justices that he doesn't like is to take away their staffs, this might present a small problem. Just a small problem. The plan the radical right-wing evangelical leaders are hatching is not falling on deaf ears. Just after this session, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay showed he was on board, warning ominously, and I quote from Tom DeLay, we set up the courts. We can unset the courts. We have the power of the purse. Apparently nobody told Tom DeLay that the founders and framers, the founders of this country and the framers of the Constitution, set up the courts. Sorry, Tom, it wasn't you who set up the courts. Luckily, many conservatives in Congress aren't quite so willing to go along with this. Perkins and Dobson were on the attack, accusing many of them of being squishy or weak. They're going to go after Olympia Snow, the Republican from Maine, Susan Collins, the Republican from Maryland, Lincoln Chafee, the Republican, he's from Rhode Island, Arlen Specter, yeah, Susan Collins is from Maine also, that's what I thought, Arlen Specter, the Republican from Pennsylvania, and Chuck Hagel, the Republican of Nebraska. Chuck Hagel? Former voting machine company president? Perkins and Dobson groused to the senators. See, Hagel has figured it out. These guys are not going to last. Give them another couple of years. They are cutting their own throats, metaphorically speaking. And Hagel has figured it out, and he wants to be president. He wants his voting machines to count the vote, just like they did when he ran for the Senate in Nebraska, which gives me chills. But nonetheless, he's figured it out. These guys are going down. Notice Rick Santorum now is being outpolled by a Democrat who hasn't even been nominated yet by, what, 13 or 16 points? All of a sudden, Rick Santorum, Mr. Blowing in the Wind, is starting to change his tune. I think things are... I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think things are about to change in this country. These guys have overreached. They have badly overreached. And Americans are beginning to wake up. And we have a long history of waking up and coming back in the United States of America. And you and I, that's what it's going to take, you getting active. I don't want to hear your whining and complaining. Get out there instead and call 1-877-SOB-USOB.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
And yell at your member of Congress, or just tell them what you have to think or say. Thanks a lot. See you Monday.